Hey queens, welcome back to another empowering season of the Wake Up Queen podcast, where we delve deep into the sacred journey of healing. I'm your host, Sunny Pitts, and this season we will be sitting down with a diverse group of queens as they share the intimate truths of their experience and the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. From overcoming adversity to embracing self-love, we will hear raw, authentic narratives of women who have walked through the fire and emerged stronger, wiser, and more radiant than ever before. So queens, prepare to be inspired, blessed, and most importantly, reminded of your inherent value in Christ. Let's jump in. All right, welcome back, queens, to the Wake Up Queen podcast. I am super duper excited to be here with you guys. It's been a while. It has been a good while. And so I'm excited for season two. And so what really I'm most excited about in this season is I'm really going to focus on bringing additional queens on. And so the goal here is to really just find other women who have a story to share. And I want to be able to give them that platform to talk about what God is doing in their life, how they ended up where they were, and just to share their story. Because I think there are a lot of women who are going through a healing process. There are a lot of women who are going through a story, and I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of amazing women who have really rough stories, but God is doing great work in their lives and he's purposed them for something. And so this season we'll focus on introducing you guys to other queens like me. So without further ado, I am super excited to introduce our first guest, Miss Takara Jackson. So say hi to Takara Jackson.
Hello, viewers and listeners. My name is Takara Jackson. I am 34 years old. I am a social worker. I am a TT. I am an advocate.
She's all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
Yeah.
I love that. So let's first give you guys kind of like a quick synopsis on how we met. So we are colleagues. As you guys know, I am a social worker and an advocate as well. We both focus on mental health. And so I've had the opportunity of connecting with Takara over the last, year now?
Yeah.
That went by so fast. Wow, already a year. And I've got the opportunity to just hear like snippets of your story and just really kind of like how much you've grown in the work that you're putting in to kind of cultivate your inner reign and like just move the way that God desires you to move. And so really kind of that's what I want you to talk about. So really just take us from the beginning.
Okay.
Like, how did you get to where you are? How did we get into advocacy? What's God doing in your life? What does that look like for you now?
Okay. So for me, it all starts back in childhood, like for most of us.
Yeah.
We have childhood traumas, childhood experiences that lead us and guide us to the person we become as adults.
Yeah.
For me, I had a very traumatic and substantial childhood. Mm-hmm. So anything you can think of, someone experiencing homelessness, abuse, neglect,
yeah.
You know, all types of things.
Yeah.
My mom was my parents were teen parents. And so they split before I was like born. My dad was a military guy. My mom was still in high school. So, you know, hindsight, they kind of did what the best they can do.
The best they could, yes.
You know, because they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a kid, you don't realize all the things that needs to happen for the ship to run,
right.
You know? And so I was the only girl. I had two brothers. I was the oldest. And so a lot of responsibility fell on me. But at a young age, I already knew that I was in love with children and that I would be working with children and for children.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went to multiple different schools. We were moving all over. I'm from Orlando, so we were moving all up and down Orlando. It was just inconsistent, terrible violence, drugs, everything, you name it.
Yeah.
And so I would like disappear in my brain, disassociating, like, this is the life I want. And so when I was a little girl, you know, kids are imaginative and they're always dreaming of a way out.
Yeah.
So I dreamed my way out and I would journal. Oh, when I get older, I'm going to move to Montana. I don't know what I knew about Montana, but I knew it was far
and
away.
Why Montana?
I don't know. But I knew I was leaving and I was going to go as far as away. And I used to be like, I hate people.
Yeah.
It wasn't people.
Yeah.
It was
behaviors.
Treatment. Of yes. Yeah. Yes. And so as I got older, I had the grace to be blessed with exposure. We lived in the projects, mm-hmm. and the schools where we lived was like the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
People would not even come over there.
Right.
And so they gave us an AB transfer to the public schools, and this changed my life forever. We went from one of the worst schools to one of the best schools.
Yeah.
With the superintendent's children. So you know it's a top school.
Yeah.
And there was all type of people. These people live in a place called Owlsworth. So Tiger Woods lived there, Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball players. The school was like 5 minutes from their house. So we went from poverty to going to school with all people, all walks of life.
Yeah.
And I got to meet different people, cultures, language, socioeconomic classes. It was just my mind was just blown.
Open, yeah.
In a way that had never been before. And I was like, oh, that's my way out. But I didn't know it yet.
Yeah.
And so it just kept moving. Then by the time we got to 10th grade, my 10th grade year, we were homeless. And so going place to place, you know, shelter to shelter. I didn't even finish my 10th grade year, Sonny, at a school. But because I had did what I was supposed to do in the beginning of the year, I ended up with all C's. God.
Yes.
And so just going. And then by the time I graduated or was getting ready to graduate, I had a guidance counselor who would talk to me, who would help me with all these things. And I got sent to like Florida State and DC, but I didn't know anything about college. I was like, my mom's like, you're going to go away and things are going to happen. We're not even going to be able to get to you. And so her fear, which parents often do project their fears onto their children.
They do.
Kept me home. So I went to community college. Nothing wrong with community college.
Right.
And I met people and I just continued to grow with exposure myself to people that had different life experiences, that knew different things, and that could meet me where I was. And I always said, I'm going to go and I'm going to help kids. So I'm like, I'm going to be a nurse. I did do that. And COVID changed that for me.
Yeah.
But I saw systematic injustices. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be a part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I really was like, I really have to help my people. I really have to help children. So what's another way? I was like, I'm going to be a social worker. And so at 30 years old, guys, 29, I decided I'm going to go back to school.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I didn't get to go to the college I wanted to. And I felt like, go knows. At that big age, Tallahassee wasn't a place for me.
Right.
Me being from a big city.
For sure.
Absolutely. And I was like, my second choice was always USF.
Go Bulls.
Let's go. So I did all the paperwork and I started up and I got accepted and I was on my journey to become a social worker. I got back to school third.
And so you were, so just bring clarity to that, because you had started over at the age of 29. Were you starting over at a bachelor's level or were you going into a master's?
I started as a bachelor's.
Okay.
Like fresh.
Yes.
You guys.
Yes.
Walking in at 30 years old and you got 18-year-old and 19-year-old.
Come on now.
People. And I'm like, oh, I'm the grandma. You know? But it was good because I was able to lead people and you know, connect with a younger generation who were able to teach me things and I was able to teach them things.
Yeah.
Then COVID. So all that changed, picking up, moving to a new city by myself.
Yeah.
No, really, not really having as much support. Started a new career. Everything was fresh. Going to a big university. My faith never wavered because before I made these changes, I asked God and I say, this is what I want to do. This is what I think you want me to do. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, let me know and I'll do it. I'll move today.
Yeah.
Within 72 hours, I got the acceptance letter for USF.
Yes, ma'am.
Avon Health transferred me from the Orlando campus to the Tampa Bay campuses. Yeah. And then the apartments, which I was searching for online from Orlando, called me back and said I got approved. Within 72 hours, I said, oh, well, goodbye to my old life, my old self. Hello to the new me and new opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And so that's a lot. So how do you feel like, so on this platform, like I always refer to like women as queens.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea behind that is like, we serve a mighty heavenly father, mm-hmm. A king of kings who sits on the highest thrones. And so as daughters of this high king, over the course of your life or over the course of your career, how would you define like queen? How would you define that? And let's go a little bit deeper. As a child, looking back now, how do you feel like your child self would have defined that? Mm. But then how has that definition changed and progressed for you now as you're defining what queen means for you?
Okay. So, listen, as a child, you know, we get these picturific, mm-hmm. idealistic notions of what a queen should look like, mm-hmm. and what a queen should be, and wear and dress and that. And so I never liked Disney like that, so I knew that was a lie. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was all in the behavior and not in the title.
Okay.
I knew that as a young girl, and I still stand on that today. I feel like a queen is someone who's a fearless leader. You are naturally a leader. You're fearless because you have to be. You are intelligent. You walk with a knowing and a confidence that when you walk into a room, when you move, you have the attention, you have the eyes, you have the respect. And it's not of a respect of I'm the best or I'm over you, I'm superior. It's like when you know what you're called for, when you know your purpose, you can walk in that. Yeah.
It's like I'm here for a purpose, on purpose, with a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a queen, that's what it is for me. I feel like I'm a queen because, first of all, my father made me his princess.
Yes.
Come on. So now. I'm already a princess.
Now. I was born this way, okay?
And I feel like as a queen, the queens that I revere as queens, they had three things in common.
Yeah.
They were all intelligent. They were all able to have agility and adaptability, right? And they had a charisma. They were not that they could coerce someone to do, mm-hmm. or people to follow them, but they were able to lead. People took them seriously and believed in them, mm-hmm. and you trust them.
Yeah.
So I hope that answered the question.
That does answer the question, and I love that. And so what would you say to the woman that feels like they're not there yet, but they're coming there? So again, we go back to, we all have a journey of healing. Mm-hmm. And we're all haven't fully arrived yet. Mm-hmm. So there's moments where, you know, Satan will come up against us and try to get in our minds and have us believe, mm-hmm. in that. I think I posted something the other day that I was discussing intrusive thoughts and like, you know, when the devil can't destroy you, he'll, mm-hmm. do his best work to try to distract you. And, mm-hmm. he'll always do that with your mind. And so, what would you say to the woman who's like, I just haven't embodied that yet, but I'm trying to, what would you say to her?
That word of the day would be patience.
Yeah.
For sure. Because we always trying to move on our time.
Yeah.
But in the end, ladies, it's God's time. We all need to remember that. And so you will get there. It's already done. He's already written it out. It was done and completed before we were even a thought.
Come on now.
So it's there. But you need to, you'll get there. Yeah. Don't beat yourself down about the roast and the process that you're going through to get there.
Yeah.
Because every, listen to me, women, children, ladies, every experience is not a coincidence.
Yeah.
Everything you are going through, you're going to need to get you to that level of being a queen, to get you to that level of being successful, wherever you're trying to be. You need the ugly stages. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as people, we don't want the ugly stages because it's uncomfortable. We don't like it. It doesn't fit us. It's not, you know, that stereotypical where we should be.
Right.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Because it's just a season. It's just a stage. It will pass. You will get there.
Yeah.
But I would say, what can aid you while you're being patient, waiting, doing the work, is surrounding yourself with people who are also doing the work, has done the work, and who you aspire to be.
Yeah.
So I always say you need people on three levels. Someone where you are right now. Someone where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ultimate idol or whatever you want to have, because you can see yourself in different levels.
Yeah.
That helps you, because we are who we surround ourselves with.
Yeah.
We can get in our head, like you said, the intrusive thoughts. Having accountability partners or a support network, it's good, because they'll help you get to where you need to be, whether that's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And that's what I would say.
Yeah. And one of the things I would add to that, I like that what you said. One of the things I would also add to that is I'm reminded of the verse in James, in the book of James. It talks about how challenges, we shouldn't be afraid of them, because it produces perseverance in us. And so one of the things that I have learned to do as I am growing in my queendom is to really ask God for a perspective shift. So oftentimes when we're in these heavy situations or when we're experiencing any sort of trauma, we immediately want God to take it from us,
mm-hmm.
right? And of course, why wouldn't it? It's uncomfortable. We don't like it. Oftentimes it's not fair. Oftentimes it's not brought on by our own doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would understand the desire of wanting God to take it away from us. But what I'm learning and what he's teaching me is it's often, like you were saying, we can always learn from it. So don't always be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we have to learn to lean in and ask the Holy Spirit to give us different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gives us different perspective, we can learn to see the problem from his lens and not necessarily seeing it with this, oh my gosh, this sucks, I hate this, I can't stand this. And so when we ask him to give us his vision, mm-hmm. we can see it a little bit differently, and we can then sit and be like, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you need me to learn from this season that will prepare me for the next?
Right?
Because we hear that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Learn from your trials, like every nothing happens without reason, and there's something you can learn from everything. But on a practical level, that's not always easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking this out, I was like, all right, God, like, I'm gonna be real with y'all. I get real with God. So I'd be in the room in the closet, and I'd be like, all right, God, you know I don't like them, but for some reason, you making me work side by side.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you need me to learn from this person?
Yeah.
Because if you don't tell me, I ain't going to pick it up. Because as far as I'm concerned, we're not meshing. And so it's really just asking that perspective change. But that goes back to what you were saying and what you were defining as a queen, in the sense of they lead without this forcible energy.
Yeah.
It's, I'm here with a purpose. I'm here to learn what I need to learn, and then I'm moving on. And by just doing that in a very gentle way, people want to follow that.
Yeah.
It creates the space for people to then want to learn as well,
mm-hmm.
and want to learn on their own pace. We're not forcing them to learn the way that we desire them to learn. We're giving them the space to learn the way the Holy Spirit needs them to learn, to walk out their journey the way that they need to walk it out. So I like that. Okay, let's switch gears for a second. I'm curious, how has faith been like a huge part of that? Did you grow up in the church? What did that look like for you? At what point did you really lean into faith? Where are you at with that?
I grew up in the church my entire life.
Okay.
Every day we were there, Monday through Sunday. And, you know, as a kid, it's like, oh, sometimes it's playtime. You go to children's church. And then it's like, oh. You grew up in Southern Baptist churches, but you did all day.
All day.
The first
breakfast,
Thursday,
lunch, and dinner.
It's like, first it's like, oh, I want to go to church. And then as you get older, because that looked like a chore. It's like, it's forced. I'd rather stay home, eat cereal, and watch cartoons.
Yes.
Because you're too young to, some are too young to process what's happening. But as I got older, I can remember me vividly the first time I can say I had faith. And I was standing in it, was my 10th grade, 11th grade year, when we were going through homelessness. And I remember us, like, we had been evicted at this point. And I remember my brother was like, there ain't no God. If there was a God, why would he let this happen to us?
Yeah.
And I remember giving a response. I don't remember verbatim, but something like, you have to have faith. This was a necessary ordeal that we need to experience, because we were going to grow from it. We were going to be able to do something with it.
Yeah.
in hindsight, it wasn't for everybody in that family. It was for me.
Okay.
Now, everybody can get something or take something. But I took that and multiplied it and made it something. As I got older, I always knew I was taught to be in church, be in someone's church. And then I would just go to church because I knew I had to be to church. But then when I got old enough to start choosing the churches I wanted to go to, mm-hmm. and how I wanted my spiritual journey to go, I started looking for teachers. Not people who can just preach, teachers. And then from those teachers, I learned, it was like the homework that you would go to Wednesday, Bible study. And it started making me, because my life was still topsy-turvy. It was still stuff going on, but I always had faith. I always had faith that it was for a bigger purpose, that God was using me. He wouldn't leave me. I never doubted that for one second in my life. And I would go to him and I would talk to him and trust in him. And when I learned, once I learned that you're being disobedient, or you're not, you could put two to two together from the word and, you know, religious aspect, spiritual, and I'm like, oh, I know what I need to do now. I need to listen. I need to ask for help and be receptive to what he's telling me, and then act. Because you can pray all day and then you get your answer, then what are you doing? Because faith without works,
dead,
real dead. So I learned to like make a one-on-one connection with God. That I remember someone, I was in some kind of religious or spiritual setting, and someone was saying that you can't rely on the church or the pastor or the whoever to do the work for you, to do the prayers for you, you have to do it yourself. You have to know for yourself. You have to know the word for yourself. You have to know God for yourself. And once that really set in, I started moving in that way.
Yeah.
You know, being really specific in my prayers, becoming more spiritual than religious. And seeking that journey, seeking to be on a journey. And when I realized, once I started listening, y'all, since I've been in Tampa, once I made that move to come, my spiritual journey has been on the up and up.
That's
Because me being here, COVID was about to happen, no one knew. I was on my own, jobs, it's everything, and I didn't know. Paying for college out of pocket, no loans. I said, God, you told me I can come to Tampa. You told me. I know the money coming. I don't know when it's coming or where it's coming from. But you told me, and you gave me the reverence of not to take a loan, that I can do it without it. And I did it. And so it's been days I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know what I'm going to do. But the Lord told me I can come here. He told me I was on the right track because I asked him and he said yes.
Yeah.
And my faith has been growing in that ever since. When I go to another job, I pray, Lord, put me in the job where I can be successful, where I can learn, where I can be my very best self. And I can connect. And if that's not the place for me, I don't care how long I'm waiting. Please don't put me there. Because I learned to start asking specifically. And talking to him specifically. And that's been working for me, Sonny.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it also helps you, like you touched on, cultivating like that intimate relationship for yourself. Like, whoever told you that is right. Like, people can pray for us all day, but we'd have to cultivate our own relationship with him. And that was one of the things. So one of the biggest things that I navigated and still currently navigating is the loss of my mom. So we lost her 3 years ago, and she was like that. Y'all, my mom was like, just to give you examples of how like beautiful this woman was, I remember like times in college where I was getting ready to do something I should not have even been, and she would just call me and be like, something told me to call you, you okay? And I would be like, what? Get out my business, like, you know. And it would be like just those little things. Like, she just had that like instinctual connection with the Holy Spirit to know, like, my kids, reach out to your kids right now, you know. And she would do that. And I think with me learning how connected she was, I think before I learned to go to God on myself, I always went to her. I would call her if I had a problem, and I would be like, this is what's going on. She'd be like, did you pray? Okay, no, give me an hour, I'll go pray, and then we'll talk again. And that's how I was cultivating, and I'm quoting that, this relationship with God. And when I lost her, I hadn't come to that realization that you had come to when you heard that from your pastor. And so it was like, well, what do I do? And he was like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Right? I'm still here. But at the time I was like, well, I don't know how to do this because I've always had
a middleman.
I've always gone to my mom and she knew what to say. And then we did it together, or she told me to go do it and told me what to say. And I did it. And so now it's me and you. And he was like, but I've been here the whole time. And so my journey has looked similar to that, and like me just learning how to like walk this out with him, just me and him. And every now and then I'll get this where, you know, you get emotionally and mentally exhausted. And so you call somebody that you're used to calling, and that becomes the person that you, and every so often, literally that person doesn't answer, or that person is busy or out of the country and I can't get a hold of him. And God's like, it's me and you. It's me and you. It's always been me and you. And so it's like just learning how to go to that. But the hardest part is when you go and you're talking with him, you're communing with him, and then he just don't say nothing for a while. And it's like, all right, God, I've been talking to you about the same thing every single day. Like, where you at? And in those moments, I'm learning, be consistent with the last thing I told you to do. So if the last thing I told you to do was to pray, keep on praying. Mm-hmm. Keep on praying until I tell you to do something else, and keep doing that same thing I told you to do. And that is where I think sometimes, that's where I think James talks about that perseverance, like building that perseverance. I don't believe that God doesn't use everything that we go through. Mm-hmm. I do believe that he allows things to happen to us in our lives. But I do believe sometimes we make decisions that we shouldn't make, and natural consequences happen. But I believe God is so gracious, and he's so loving, and he's so committed to making sure that we are okay, that he uses even the very thing that we shouldn't have been mixed up in. He uses that to bring glory to his kingdom. And I think it's really, yeah, whoever told you that, I think that was the great advice, because it's like, go to the Father on your own. You have access to a great Father. Go to him, Queen. Go to your Father.
And listen up, Queens. Another gem from that, as you were talking, I'm like, he's done this in my life. Y'all, mm-hmm. listen up. He will move you. He will move everything from you. When he wants you, he wants you. When he wants your time, you're not investing in it, you're not doing enough, he will remove anything that's in his way.
Yes. And he will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, listen, and you will not be able to go back to sleep.
Let me tell you, it's important. These hard times, we're talking about challenging times. I notice he does it when we are isolated.
Yeah.
Alone. As you were saying, no mama, no friend, you know, no companions to talk this out. That's when he can get through to us. So being alone or not having that safety net is going to be necessary. Some things you have to do alone. And I think getting comfortable, Queens, with being alone and not lonely and alone is two different things. Mm-hmm. But being alone so that you're in a place, you have no distractions, and he can get to you and you can get to him with no interference.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of that either, because that's when he's going to do his best work with you.
Yeah.
And you got to be listening. You got to be present.
Yeah. And I'll even like change the verbiage there, because I think it's less about being alone, but even more about being still, because he says in his word, be still and know that I am God. And so it's like, I like that, because it's like, when things get hard, we don't want to be still. We want to figure out how, and I think we were just talking about this earlier, like we want to figure out what is that next thing? What is, okay, God, like this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. How do I get out of this? How do I move on to the next thing? Oh, this is uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to, and it's like, no, be still. Be still.
And I
would even challenge that, because there are a lot of things where I have been so hurry up and get to the next place that we miss the very thing that he's trying to teach us from where we are. And so we end up not being prepared. And guess what? When we get to that next space, we still got to learn. We still got to cover the lessons that we didn't learn, because we were rushing to get to that next season. And so I like that. And so what are things that, like, values that you, as you are continuing to walk out this journey of healing or renewal or transformation, whatever you want to call it, as you were journeying to queendom, what are some of the important values on a practical level that you would say that you are currently living out right now?
Number one, honesty.
Okay.
You have to be honest with yourself first.
Okay.
That is a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires you to deal with your demons or your things that are in your closet, the uncomfortable subjects. You have to be honest.
Yeah.
Once you're honest, I think that opens up the gates for everything else to come on in.
Yeah.
The next thing is doing the work, so being accountable. Queens, God give us choices.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that makes him the God of all gods, because he doesn't dictate us.
Yeah.
He give us choices. He's a gentleman. You have choices. You have to be accountable whether they're good choices or negative choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stand on that. And I think that's been something that I've been working with. You have to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So honesty, being accountable, you know. And then I would say for my last one is, it's kind of not like a value, but it's more of a statement, but I use it as a value. Either gonna be for profit or for people. We were not created for ourselves. We were created for a bigger everything. And that everything is people, that everything is other souls, others. It's not us.
Yeah.
He first thing he did was build community.
Yeah.
Adam, Eve, Lilith, however you want to do it. It's
but
always,
he said it is not good that man be alone.
Listen, you're either for profit or for people.
Yeah,
profit sometimes is for yourself. What are you to gain?
Yeah.
What do you want? I've learned when I start moving for people, my life starts changing.
I love that.
Because you have to be selfless.
Yeah.
And when you're doing, being selfless, you're giving, you're being the good Samaritan.
Yeah.
You're taking care of your brother and your neighbor, because you ain't gonna want to lie to them. You ain't gonna want to hurt them. You ain't gonna want to steal from them, because you're for people.
Yeah, you want their best interest. Yeah.
So that's what I would say. You guys be honest, be accountable for yourself, you know, do the work, self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
and be for people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that. So to touch on this last thing that you said, for be for profit or be for people, which I love that. I've never heard that before. So you're either for profit or you're for people. I've heard it said that the best way to know yourself is to get around other people. And because there's like two parts to that, right? Like, you can't spend all your time with people and never time with yourself. But I think the meaning behind that is, when I'm by myself, I'm always agree with me.
Of course.
Okay.
I'm a yes man.
I'm my biggest supporter.
Okay.
I'm gonna be in the closet in the mirror, gassing myself up, right? Like, if I'm mad, I'm gonna be in the mirror and be like, yes girl, tell it, because that's how it. But when you get around other people, that leads to that accountability piece that you were talking about. It's perspective. And so everybody's not going to agree with you. You might be wrong. And if you got good friends around you, they're going to call that out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not walking on the path that you have expressed to your friends that you desire to walk on, they're going to call that out that they're good people. And so what I think they mean by the best way to know yourself is to get around other people is to really, how are we responding when people are giving us correction? How are we responding when people don't agree with us, when people are not our yes people, right? How are we responding? How do we respond to difficult people when they just, everything is a no?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Right? Yes. So like, how do we, and that is where the Holy Spirit has me now dealing with, and I'm quoting, difficult people. And it's not necessarily difficult people, but it's recognizing that as social workers, especially Black women. So we're not only are we social workers that love people and have a heart for people, but by nature, as a Black woman, that's just what we're taught to do.
Intersectionality.
From a young age, you were basically parenting at a young age, right? And so I think society has coined us as that. And so we do a really good job at carrying the weight of a lot of things that mm-hmm. are not really ours. Mm-hmm. And so when you're dealing with a difficult person, you feel the need to immediately control the situation because that's what you're taught to do. And so what I'm learning is, oh, okay, you know what? That's actually not my fight. Holy Spirit, that's for you. And so I can easily be like, you know what? I love you. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize that's the Holy Spirit work, not Sunny. Because there's nothing that I can do that can save you, that can release you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I love you and I'm here to support you, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so in having that perspective, I'm learning to kind of free myself of these quote unquote responsibilities that I'm supposed to have. And I even do it as a mom, girl, as a mom of a 2-year-old and a 19-year-old. I'm like, is that Holy Spirit? Am I supposed to fix that? Or is that you? Because mm-hmm. I'm not sure what, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And so it's like just learning that. So like that idea of like the best way to know yourself is in the presence mm-hmm. of other people. I like that. And this idea of like, you're either going to be for people or you're not going to be for people.
Yeah.
And y'all, the Holy Spirit, like the Lord loves his people. So just keep that in mind when you're trying to mess with his kids, because
listen, like, my message just said that. Listen, and on top of what you're just saying, when you're being for profit for people, what he's working on me in this season is my need, kind of what you're saying, mm-hmm. to be in control. See, yeah. trauma breeds yes. so much, especially childhood trauma.
Yeah.
I had no control of being homeless. I had no control of yeah. abuse. I had no control of nothing, of just all the craziness. And so, and as an adult, when I say accountability, a part of that is me, because I know we have options, same things mm-hmm. and choices, and you have to be accountable.
Yeah.
So I like to be in control.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to dealing with people, like you said, challenging people, it's a part of the aspect of the things that I cannot control, which yeah. he's working on me with in this season, mm-hmm. because I like to know. I like to be able to shift and be adaptable. Mm-hmm. I'm a chameleon. Baby, I can be whoever you need me to be
yeah.
whenever
yeah.
you need me to be. But I like to do it in my own way. And the yeah. Lord's telling me in this season, I went to church last Sunday and it hit right on the head. True surrender is you letting it go and giving it all to him and trusting him. Mm. Y'all, in my brain, I'm like, yeah, I give it all to
yeah,
God.
I give it all to God. You. Yeah.
I really believe that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, to the best of my abilities. To a human, to any man, woman, I have a hard time letting go, giving control, because I feel like I've been let down so much. Literally, that's my fear, of just giving it to even a little bit and you disappoint me, because that's consistently
but
what I
But not only that, add the layer of like, you feel slighted, you feel disrespected,
all the time.
You feel like, you feel you're mad at yourself, right? Because I put myself out there and you hurt me once again. Yeah. How dare I be that stupid? So I do get that. And I would also encourage, keep giving it to him. Mm-hmm. If you give it to him, if you take it to the altar, and then you decide tomorrow you want to go pick it up, take it back to the altar. Mm-hmm. And then 2 hours later, if you need to take it back to the mm-hmm. altar, right? And I think it's like that's how like gracious and loving and how much mm-hmm. he cares about us. It's like, just give it to me. Just
it's
keep
like
giving
the Elsa
it to me.
Song. When
it,
yeah. I gotta let it go.
Yeah.
That's in this season, that's what I'm learning.
Yeah.
Full true surrender, letting it all go. Because he got me.
Yeah.
He's that net that's gonna catch me. He's
yes.
the arms that's gonna cover me. He's there.
Yeah.
And I know it. It's one thing about knowing, understanding, and just doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know it and I understand
so
it, but I have to do the work,
yeah.
y'all. Queens, you gotta do the work.
Gotta
you gotta let
work.
It go. You got to trust him 100%. I feel like, oh my Lord, I'm giving you, I trust you. And I'm like, sis, honestly, it's probably like 90%. In my
yeah.
brain, it's 100%.
Yeah.
But that little 10% that I can't let go is not 100% trusting and giving it to God.
Yeah.
That does not get me where
yeah.
he wants me to be.
Yeah. No, I feel that 100%. And I think, this is a good conversation, by the way. I just went on a tangent there. But I do think, and we'll wrap up here in a second, but I do also think, like, know that, like, your healing journey is, like we're never going to arrive fully until we get to heaven. So we have to, like, rid ourselves of this idea that we have to come to God fully put together and fully perfect, mm-hmm. right? I got to go in the bathroom and wipe my tears off of my face and, like, beat my chest and stuff before I go to God. No, go to him now.
Yep.
however you are, wherever you are, with whatever you have, go to him now. Mm-hmm. Because if we had it all together, we wouldn't need a savior. But y'all, we need a savior. Mm-hmm. And so go to him. And so that is, again, something that he's teaching me. Like, if we need to cry, that's what we're doing. If you need a vent, that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. If we need to sit in silence, that's what we're doing. That's what he's there for. He's our friend. He's our confidant. He's our comforter. He's our father. He's our mother in some cases. He's a safe. He's everything that we need him to be, when we needed him to be, at how we need him to be it. Mm-hmm. So that's my closing remark. Any closing remarks for you? Like I said, this has been a really good conversation. But any last words that you want to leave the queens?
Queens, I just got a phrase. And I know it's commonly used, but it's realistic. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Yeah. Don't be moving so fast and running so far that you miss what's happening on the journey.
Yeah.
This includes good things, bad things, challenges, growth, hurdles, all of it.
Yeah.
Experience it. Be present. The past is gone. The future may not come. We don't know it.
Yeah.
But you have right now. You have today. Experience the journey for what it is. Take what you can get. Leave what you don't need.
Yeah. I love that. And I will add to that and say, invite him on the journey with you.
Mm, that's good.
Because he will give you the eyes to see. Mm-hmm. What you need, and he'll give you the discernment to be able to take what you need and leave what you don't.
That's good.
So yes, again, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate you for gracing us with your presence. Mm-hmm. And as always, queens, we will see you next time.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
We hope you were blessed by today's conversation. We know that healing can be a hard and seemingly lonely journey, but God is faithful to be with us in our weakest moments. Our favorite verse, Philippians 4:13, reminds us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So as we move through our individual journeys, let us be reminded to lean into the strength of the Holy Spirit within us. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please like, subscribe, share, and leave us a review. To stay up to date with the Wake Up Queen podcast, follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook at Heart and Home Community Inc. Thanks for listening.